Good morning, and welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
And I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And on today's podcast, we're going to talk about boiled frogs and Goldilocks. All right, Goldilocks and boiled frogs. That's the topic for today.
I like this one.
Yeah, it's going to be I think we had more fun coming up with the name because of the parables that we were talking about when we were talking about this idea for the podcast.
Right, because most parents experience this. Right. At some point in your child's development, we experience this sort of thing, some more than others. That's why I'm excited about this, because It's something that most of us have experienced or will experience.
Right, absolutely. And so we'll tell you a little bit about how we got to this. We were talking the other day about some families that we're working with, and we were talking about how things must have evolved over time to get to this...
In the family. Right.
To get to this catastrophic event, this situation that they're in at this time, and we think... You know, how must have things developed over time? And we were thinking, it sounds like, you know, the boiled frogs parable.
That's right, because...
Tell them what the boiled frogs parable is, just in case folks don't know. Or you want me to say it. Go ahead.
Parable of the... He lets me talk once in a while. But we can explain why he's reluctant to let me talk another time.
Yeah. The outtakes reel.
So I always have liked the parable of the boiled frog because it captures one of the things that many of us are guilty of, and that is parable of the boiled frog is if you put a frog into hot water, it will jump out. It will do whatever it can to escape.
Right.
However, if you put the frog in room temperature water and gradually increase the temperature of the water, the frog will not try to escape and could eventually die because it just gradually gets there. And this happens to most of us. So we gradually get there. I think of weight gain. We talk a lot about weight loss. If you gain a quarter of a pound a week, and that's nothing.
Right.
I mean, that's 4 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
In a month, that's 2 pounds. That's a pound.
Right.
Okay. Over the course of a year, it's 12 pounds. So you've gone from 150 to 160.
Right.
Over the course of 5 years, you're approaching obesity.
Right.
So it doesn't take much to get there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this with our children as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it. We see children who can no longer attend school.
Right.
Well, the child didn't wake up one day and say, "I can't go to school anymore."
Right.
There's a gradual process.
Right.
That reminds us of the parable of the boiled frog.
Right.
I'm guilty of this with my own children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sort of tolerate little things in our children that perhaps we shouldn't tolerate. And before long, our child is on a path that we really don't approve of.
Right.
You know, but we didn't realize we were getting there because we were getting there a gradual, tiny, imperceptible step at a time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're talking about today is this phenomena that happens when we, as parents, work to adapt to our kids, which we're going to talk about how to do that in a healthy way.
Right. It's a normal tendency.
Right.
Right.
If we know our kid is going to have an outburst or a rage attack or a temper tantrum every time we have them do this particular thing, well, our tendency is going to be to avoid that negative consequence of us expecting our kids to do that.
Right.
And so if we're not careful, we slowly move into this direction where we start taking away expectations, inappropriate expectations.
That's right. We see it with food preferences.
Right, right.
It's an easy place to see it.
Yeah.
You know, your child doesn't, you know, has a temper tantrum if you serve peanut butter, so you stop serving peanut butter. It's just not worth it.
Right.
Well, and then they don't like eggs, and they don't like beans, and they don't like this. And so you avoid these, and gradually the child is reducing their food intake or their food preferences down to a couple of items because we have adjusted.
Right.
Imperceptibly, suddenly the child's only eating 3 or 4 foods.
Right, right. So, and so that's where, again, as you said, that's where the parable of the boiled frogs come to mind. So let's talk first about how important it is that we do adjust to our kids' our kids' needs at times.
Mm-hmm.
Because we certainly... we certainly can't hold our kids to expectations that they can't perform.
That's right.
You know, we have to look at what our child's skills are, what our child's interests are, and what motivation they have to do what it is we're expecting them to do.
That's right.
And we have to weigh and take into consideration all of those things when we have various expectations for our kids.
Right. So we have, so there's this balance between we have expectations, mm-hmm. but we adjust
right.
as needed
right.
because there's variability.
Mm-hmm.
This whole past week, we've been talking about what children should achieve at certain critical times,
mm-hmm.
age 3, 5, 8, 12, and 18. And so there is on the one hand, there is the expectation. On the other hand, there's variability.
Right.
So we don't expect the child to walk at exactly 12 months.
Right.
We don't expect the child to be able to self-regulate at exactly age 8 or
right.
to be independent at age 18. So we acknowledge, and so we're sensitive to the variability
mm-hmm.
and say, well, my child's just not there yet,
right.
or my child's ahead of schedule or a little bit behind schedule, and that's okay because we can work through it.
Yeah, I think that some of those big milestones, those obvious developmental milestones, serves as a great example
mm-hmm.
because you wouldn't take your 12-month-old and go to the mall, and
right.
even if he can't walk, put him down and say, okay, let's walk,
mm-hmm.
let's walk in the mall.
Right.
Well, he can't walk in the mall, and so he's maybe crawling,
right.
and so he's going to crawl on the floor in the mall, which is dangerous. But you wouldn't do that to your 12-month-old, even though the expectation of him having that skill is there,
right.
you wouldn't put him in a situation where he has to perform it
mm-hmm.
when he can't.
Right.
And so we understand that with physical expectations, you know, but we wouldn't do that, or we don't do that oftentimes with other expectations, with the social emotional things, with
right.
the some of the cognitive things, with some of the, and when I say cognitive things, I'm talking about sort of appreciating other people's perspectives, sort of that metacognitive, meta-analysis, you know, what is, and theory of mind, we've talked about that
yeah.
before, you know, how do you think it makes me feel when you do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not a very fair question to ask some kids because they just don't have that skill yet.
Right.
And then we get upset with them and get frustrated with them that they don't have that, they don't understand, and then we get mad, and
right.
then it doesn't lead to very good things because
mm-hmm.
the kid's going to get punished, and then we're
right.
going to be upset, and you know,
right.
On
so,
and on.
So we have to have the expectation. If you listen to the podcast this week, you know what these milestones are at these different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear to see them at age 3, 5, 8, 12, and 18. So we have the expectations. But because we are sensitive to the children we have, you know,
mm-hmm.
you raise the children you have, not the children you want.
Right.
So because we are sensitive to their particular needs, their individual needs, we tend to be flexible and accepting.
Right.
But we caution you
mm-hmm.
about how accepting you are.
Right.
And when you say, I think I need to change course here.
Right.
Because you're being seduced in a way into changing the expectation.
Right.
And that's
right.
that's a slippery slope that we want to caution
right.
you about.
Yeah. And I think that your example a moment ago with food, what served as a great illustration for how it happens gradually. You know,
mm-hmm.
it is, as you said, imperceptive. You know, it's so small. And we
right.
think, oh, this is just, it's just broccoli. I mean,
right.
you know, he doesn't eat broccoli. Okay,
a
lot of people
broccoli.
Don't eat broccoli. Okay,
right.
well, then it turns into anything green. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so now we're ruling out most of the vegetables. But you know what? You know, he will try some of these
right.
other things. And then he doesn't like, eat this and doesn't eat that. And now all of a sudden, all he eats is French fries and chicken nuggets.
By the time they get to age 3 or 4 or 5,
right.
they're not eating vegetables anymore. They're
right.
not eating raw foods anymore. They're,
right.
You know, so we caution you about that. That's just food. There's a long list of such things that we need to be mindful of.
Right. So what we need to do is, and so this is where Goldilocks comes into play, because of course Goldilocks was looking for just right.
Right.
She was looking for, you know, the porridge, the chair, the bed, whatever it was that was just the right temperature, just the right comfort, just the right softness, so that she could
right.
Be comfortable
mm-hmm.
and achieve what it is she's trying to achieve, eat. Relax or sleep
right.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so as parents, we have to find that Goldilocks place as it relates to what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish with our children. Right. Again, all week long, we've talked about the ultimate goal. What is your child going to look like walking off the graduation stage? What kind of skills is he or she going to have? What is his or her preferences, their priorities? All of that stuff starts early in life, that social-emotional development, those sort of expectations that they place for themselves. As a parent, it's so important that we keep in mind, sort of, again, keep focused on what that goal is. Where is Oz? Where is it that this brick road is taking us, so that we can make sure that we stay pretty close to that path as we're going?
That's right.
Because the path is the just right. You know, we may go off it to the right just a little bit, may go off it to the left just a little bit, but we got to get back and be able to stay back on that track, because too far off the track and then we're lost.
That's right. So on the one hand, you want to avoid allowing yourself to be seduced into the boiled frog world.
Right. It's easy to do.
It's easy because it's all the right motivation.
Right.
You know, we want to take care of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And so if our children really have an aversion to a particular food item, most parents aren't going to push that and probably shouldn't push it. What we have to be careful of is that we don't eliminate whole classes of food.
Right.
Or your child doesn't like to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. And so so you push bedtime up, or they want to stay in bed in the morning and just get up and get dressed and run to school, which is not a good idea because they miss breakfast and they miss sort of that preparation for school. We were talking this morning about, you play a word search game to get your brain going in the morning.
Right.
Okay. Well, kids need the same kind of, they need to get their brains going in the morning to transition from sleep mode to awake mode.
Right.
But if they're just falling out of bed, jumping into clothes and getting onto the school bus or getting into the car, they're missing an important transition period. But we get gradually seduced into doing that.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I refer to as that long list of expectations that we should have. And with social emotional development, earlier this week or during this past week, we said, here are the mile markers.
Mm-hmm.
These should be the expectations.
Right.
Okay. So be careful that you don't get into, that warm water and get boiled, gradually.
Right.
So then we move on to Goldilocks.
Right.
So how do we do this?
Right.
And that's what you were kind of saying. Where is just right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, just right is going to be defined by that ultimate goal. All right. So let's say that you hope that, let's say that you hope that your child is on the graduation stage. Okay. So
let's start with that.
Because that means that they're going to go to school.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, we've had folks that we've worked with in the past where, you know, kids are refusing to go to school or kids are no longer going to school. And as you said, I think starting out today, they didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm not going to go to school anymore.
Right.
It was, they missed a day here. Then all of a sudden it was 2 days a week, then 4 days a week. And now they're not going.
That's exactly how it happens. It happens gradually. You know, it's a day here and a day there. And suddenly it's 2 days and it's 3 days.
Right.
And all of a sudden the child loses the capacity to go to school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we have to do as parents, you know, one of the first things we have to do, keeping the ultimate goal in mind, is we have to see these patterns. Mm-hmm. That means you have to be paying attention.
Right.
You know, if your kid is missing a day a week every week, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
1 day a week is a problem.
Mm-hmm. 1 day every other week really is a problem.
You know, it's really true. Kids shouldn't miss school.
Right.
I mean, if your child misses school every time she has an activity, like let's say it's a Christmas program or it's a Halloween or a holiday program or an athletic event, I'm just too tired in the morning. That's too much school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't miss school because you had an event the night before.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to keep that. You have to keep monitoring that.
That's right. The expectation is you're going to go to school.
Right.
Regardless of what else is happening.
Right.
Unless you're bleeding or fever.
Right.
You're going to school.
Right.
You have a stomach ache, you have a headache, you're tired, you go to school.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And if your child is getting to the position where they're missing multiple days of school because of not feeling well, well, go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, you take... If the first morning, really, your child wakes up and says, I'm not feeling well, you say, okay, stay home today, you know, their fever or whatever.
Right.
If by the second day, there's still a fever, they're still not feeling well, like, take him to the doctor.
Right.
And if the doctor says, well, there's nothing wrong, everything looks fine,
right. Time to go back.
Go to school.
Right.
So you have to be diligent about mm-hmm. that. And that's where the just right comes in with this.
Right.
You understand, you listen to your child, you attend to what they say is wrong. And if they're telling you that they're not well, the just right is, let's go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, it's not, unless you're a doctor, you're not qualified to determine whether the child is really sick mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. And so you take them to the doctor and you see what's going on.
Right.
And if the doctor says everything looks fine, I don't see anything, mm-hmm. then the next, certainly by the next day, they go back to school. You know, when we were talking about eating, you know, vegetables and things like that, you know, if your kid doesn't like broccoli, you can just eliminate it, but that begins a pattern.
Right.
What a lot of parents do, and you know, this is okay at the beginning at least, you know, then you put cheese on it, or you put mm-hmm. you know, ranch dressing on it or something like that, something that we know that, not ketchup, on broccoli isn't good, but no. You put something on it that kids, yeah. you know your child likes, mm-hmm. and you put that on it, and then they're more likely to eat it.
That's right. Make vegetables flavorful. It's not hard to do with butter and garlic and salt and pepper, and you can make these things taste good,
right.
or taste good enough to eat.
Right. If it's a texture thing, you know, go ahead and boil the broccoli first, you know, so it's soft. You know, don't give them raw broccoli.
Some kids like it soft, some like it raw.
Right. Know, so you adjust and you see what's happening. Right. But what you don't want to do, and this is a pitfall that parents fall in, at least as it relates to like food and some of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. is that we set expectations and we draw lines in the sand. Well, right. you're not going to get up from that seat yeah. until you eat it. Mm-hmm. Well, now you have made that food a competition. Mm-hmm. You have made that, you have created an ultimatum that has really made that food a negative. It doesn't matter anymore that he doesn't like the taste of it. Now what matters is that he's getting in trouble because of it.
That's analogous to the porridge is too hot.
Right.
Okay, so now the parent has made the porridge way too hot.
Right.
On the other hand, if you just say, oh, you don't have to eat that anymore.
Right.
Now it's way too cold.
Right, okay? Exactly.
So the Goldilocks part is, what do you do as a parent to
right.
keep the expectation,
mm-hmm.
but keep moving in the right direction?
Right.
Right.
And so you use other tools, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, ranch dressing or
that's right.
Whatever it is, to get them to attempt it, to try it and explore it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we're keeping a nice variety of food in the diet without, right. you know, freaking out every time we're going to have broccoli or put broccoli on the table.
Right.
When it comes to school, very similar. You know, if they're not wanting to go to school, I don't know how many times I've talked to people who say, well, you know, every day he just won't go to school.
Right.
And my question is, why? Why doesn't he, what does he say? Why doesn't he go, oh, I don't know. He just says he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to know why he doesn't like to go to school or doesn't want to go to school, because that's going to be the problem that we need to fix. And so we don't, not going to school isn't the solution, because that's not, because school necessarily itself isn't the problem.
Right.
Perhaps there's a bully at school. Perhaps the work is too hard. Perhaps the teacher, the kid feels the teacher is picking on him. You know, school itself isn't the problem.
Right.
There's some aspect of it that's the problem, and that's what we need to fix. Not mm-hmm. going to, not just the fact of going to school.
There was a time when we used to call it school refusal.
Right.
Well, then we realized that it wasn't that they didn't want to go to school. They wanted to stay home for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that's what, when Dr. Burney talks about why, you know, mm-hmm. what's the reason, is it, it's probably not school.
Right.
Kids don't mind going to school, but they want to stay home for some
right.
reason. And so that's what we have to figure out.
Right.
I
mean, why would they want to go to school if they can stay home and play Xbox all day? I mean,
or stay home with mom and
right.
get their needs met.
Right. Or if your 12 or 13 year old knows that if he stays home, he's going to be home alone all day,
mm-hmm.
which 12 and 13 year olds don't mind being home alone all day, because again, it means that Xbox and TV mm-hmm. and whatever you want to do. Why wouldn't they want to do that?
They don't understand. They don't fully appreciate the long-term implications.
Right.
These young, especially in elementary school, when kids start requesting in elementary school that they stay home, if they start to develop the expectation that they can, there it's a never-ending battle.
Right.
They cannot ever assume or get the develop the understanding that it is okay to stay home.
Right.
Because I'm not feeling well.
Okay? Right. Yeah. No. And you know, even if, and this is, I think this is an important strategy. If your kid is sick, okay, let's say that he or she is legitimately sick, right. And you work and your partner works, and so he would be home alone.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't leave him home alone.
Right.
You know, get in touch with grandma, get in touch with the aunt and uncle, somebody who can watch him. But talk with them ahead of time. You know, set a plan with them to begin with and say, hey, you know, if he's sick from school, would it be cool, unless you have something else going on, would it be cool for him to stay with you for the day?
Right.
And if they say yes, and again, unless they have something going on, so you have two or three people sort of in line for this just in case. If they say yes, say, okay, here's the expectation though. Right. If he's home from school, he's not sitting at home and watching TV all day.
Right.
He's not playing any electronics all day. He's going to be resting. He's going to, get recovering. We can't allow them, because that's how a lot of this starts. Is you stay home legitimately sick one day, and you're like, man, this is pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Ferris Bueller, right? You know, he knew how to work his parents so that he could stay home sick, and obviously he had the system down because he had really honed that skill pretty well.
Right.
Other kids are going to do that too. They may not be as creative as Ferris Bueller was, but they're going to be able to use many of those same strategies to say, hey, you know, it really, there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to do at home today. This new game is coming out today. It's going to be released. And so I want to stay home and play the demo.
Right.
So
right.
We have to prevent that by letting them know that you can stay home if you're sick. But you're not going to be home playing Xbox or watching movies.
I agree. I
mean, you know,
if a child's healthy enough to play video games,
yeah. I mean,
in the absence of a fever,
right,
or active bleeding, or something dreadfully contagious,
right,
that child ought to be in school,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can't. So again, that just right is. If they have to stay home, they can stay home. You just can't allow it to be so Disney. You can't allow it to be better than the alternative.
Children should prefer going to school rather than stay. I hated to stay home
because
there's nothing to do. Of course, that was in the day when there wasn't anything to do. I mean,
had to work back on the back 40.
There was a TV, but didn't work very well, and there wasn't much on it.
It's black and white.
Didn't come on until 8 and went off at 11. And it was black and white. It was little, and, you know, quit laughing.
Everybody's hovering around.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, look, it's
happening. But there wasn't much on. There were soap operas and game shows, and they were not interesting to us. There were no video games. There were no computers.
Right.
And so you really didn't have anything to do. And it was terribly boring to stay home. It should be terribly boring to stay home today.
Right.
But it's not.
Right.
There's
an infinite number of things for
900 channels 24 hours a day.
Right.
So be very, very careful of getting seduced into this I want to stay home business.
Right.
Not a good idea.
Right.
Slippery slope.
Another boiling pot of water is the tendency that we have as parents, and we've talked lots of times before about a reward and punish mentality and approach to parenting. But a major pot of boiling water is the idea of, you know, giving your kids rewards for behaving in a way that they're supposed to behave. If you go to school today, I'll get you a present. We'll go to Walmart and I'll get you that thing that you were wanting.
Right.
If you go to school this morning, we'll go by 7-Eleven and I'll get you a Slurpee on the way.
Right.
We should never. We should never allow ourselves to be in that situation.
That's
never make those kinds of compromises with your child.
I think that's an excellent point. You don't reward for what's supposed to be happening anyway.
Right.
I mean, you go to school because that's the expectation, because you're expected to go to school. You don't get a treat. You don't get a reward for going to school. You just go to school.
Right.
There are some things for which you don't get a reward for.
Right. Right.
So no.
Yeah.
No,
and it goes with a lot of these things. There are some kids, admittedly, there are those kids with ADHD and some of those things where you have to reward behavior. You say, okay, if you can make it throughout the day and you can really work hard, then, you know, you get a sticker on the chart and we can do our behavior charts and stuff like that. There are those kids like that. But again, I think you used the other day, you used the 80% rule.
Right.
80% of kids don't need anything like that.
Right.
I have never been a huge proponent, again, for that 80% of kids, for paying, you know, giving kids rewards for making good grades.
Same thing.
You should be making good grades because you want to make good grades, because you want to be successful. You take pride in your work.
There is a value in getting good grades.
Right.
Period. Not because it gets you something else.
Right.
The value is in getting good grades.
Right. And again, there are those kids with ADHD and things like that that need some extrinsic motivation. But by and large, we should not peg-hole ourselves into a situation where this is just how we do it. This, in our family, if you make an A, you get this amount of money. Because you can't sustain that.
Right.
You know, I guess some parents sustain that. I know some kids who get over $100 because they make A's on the report card. And I can't help but think so they're capable of making A's on their report card. So that should be good enough. That should be their reward. You know, even as a psychologist, you know, I have some colleagues, none that work here with us here in this office, but I know people who, you know, when kids come in to do testing and stuff, they give them a little treat, that, you know, a treasure box type of thing, or, you know, this is, for whatever reason, this is the way that I see it. Hey, you're not in school and you get to come talk to me.
Right.
That should be reward enough.
Reward enough. You get to talk.
Because we get, you miss school. We get to play some games. We get to do, why would I give you, why would I give you something else? Why would I give, because now we're not, they're not performing the behavior for the purpose that they need to be performing the behavior.
Right.
This goes back to, you know, participation trophies.
And,
you know, that's participation trophies are great for 3 and 4 year olds. By the time you get 5 and older, you get a trophy if you win.
I was watching The Fockers last night, that movie.
You got to watch how you pronounce their name.
But that was part of
Man, you made me nervous there for a second. I thought I was going to have to change our...
And Dustin Hoffman was his dad, and he had the Gaylord Wall of, and Robert De Niro said, "Gee, I didn't know they gave a ribbon for ninth place."
Yeah,
you know, and true, they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and we shouldn't, but no, we should. And all week we talked about what do you want when they're 18,
right?
So when do you stop paying for grades?
Right.
I mean, you have to stop at some point because
right.
you're not going to keep giving. I hope you're not going to give money for grades.
Hopefully.
Because by 18, you should be an adult and not need that anymore.
Right.
So when do you stop?
Right.
Okay. Well, the best advice is don't start.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you teach, again, you work with Oz in mind, where your ultimate goal is.
What is your goal?
And you communicate that to your child from the beginning. You know, hey, look, you know, school is what we do during the day. I get up, I go to work. You get up, you go to school.
Right.
That's what we do every day.
That's right.
I think that, again, the water starts boiling with little things that parents do that they don't even understand that they're doing. Like, oh man, school starts back in 2 weeks.
Right.
Oh. Okay, you just made school a negative thing. Or, geez, man, you're really driving me crazy today. I can't wait till school starts back.
Right.
Now school is a punishment.
Right.
You know what? You're if you can't control yourself, you're gonna have to go to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
You just made going to bed a punishment.
Right.
And so we do these little things that result in the kid learning and starting to push back in ways that slowly boil us and push us in a direction that is way off the path of where we want to be.
Of where we want to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be mindful of this all the time. And it's work. Being, you know, making these parental decisions is work.
And I think the important thing to remember is that we gave you, we talked about these mile markers,
right.
3, 5, 8, 12, 18. You have to work hard to get to each mile marker.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's going to happen automatically.
Right.
In any area of the child's life, you have to work. And in this case, you what we mean by work is you have to give your children the opportunity to achieve that mile marker. So if we want them to be, if we want them to be able to self-regulate by age 8, then we have to put them into circumstances where they can learn how to self-regulate right. by age 8. We can't relieve them of the responsibility.
Right.
No, honey, you're 7 years old now. You don't get to throw a temper tantrum anymore.
Right.
You just can't allow that. Otherwise, you're right. in the hot water again.
Right.
And it's not going to end well.
Yeah. So food, bedtime, getting
hygiene.
Up time, hygiene, school, right. all of these are our potential pots of boiling water
right.
that we have to be mindful of mm-hmm. that so we don't allow ourselves to slowly slowly boil over.
Accept
yeah.
what is not acceptable.
Right.
The expectation is you go to school. It's not acceptable for you to stay home.
Right.
So don't start to get seduced into making children think that it is okay.
Right. Yeah. And if you're already in a pot of boiling water, mm-hmm. the pot has slowly started right. to boil and you're turning red and all. We need to figure out how to turn the water down.
Right. If your child is of school age and is not going to school, mm-hmm. that's a serious problem.
That's a big
issue.
There
are very few solutions to that.
Right.
That's probably not going to end well.
Right. If you're incapable, and I don't mean that judgmentally,
right.
But if you're incapable of getting your kid to school, getting your kid to go to school, that's a huge issue. And there's not a... Oh, this is how you fix that problem.
Exactly.
You know, outside of a police officer coming to your house and putting them in the truck in the car and taking them to school, there's not a solution to that issue because, mm-hmm. you know, you're gonna, especially if it's your kid is, you know, bigger than you, what are you gonna, yeah, you're gonna wrestle them into
right.
the wrestle, yeah. you're gonna fight them and put them into the car mm-hmm. physically, and no, then what are you gonna do when you get to school? You're gonna you know, boot them out of the car.
And will they stay at school or run
right.
away?
So we have, you know, we've really created a monster at that point.
You've created a very difficult problem.
Right.
We create very difficult problems to solve because as kids get older, whether it's, you know, another one is smart mouth,
yeah.
Talking back.
Yeah.
And you say, well, it's not worth fighting over. It's not worth fighting over. It's not worth
it. Oh, well, he's just joking. It's just right. playful now.
And suddenly you realize that your child is just says whatever he or she wants, whenever she wants, and
right.
you can't do anything about it. By the time they're 13 or 14 years old, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to correct that problem.
Right.
Or it's going to be extraordinarily difficult.
Right.
So don't go down into these pots of boiling water to
right.
begin with. That's the best advice we can give you, is don't start because it's going to be very seductive and you're not going to realize it's happening, just like the frog.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So that was a lot of...
But... This is another one of those times when I really would like to hear from listeners.
Yeah.
You know, what is your experience with these things?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are struggling with one, please let us know, and we'll help you in yeah. whatever ways we can.
Right.
Because they're not easy to deal with. Once they take hold, they're very difficult to change.
Right. So. Yeah, and we talk about some of this stuff in the Parenting Your ADHD right. Child course that right. is on our Paydia channel. Mm-hmm. There's a link that... is in the show notes, but it's right. also in the top corner, probably over on that corner over there, just above your head. Don't look. But it's there, so you can jump over there to that playlist, and there's 20 or so lessons that cover a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, but how to set appropriate expectations and setting ground rules for different things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that stuff's there. So, but this is definitely something that we'll probably revisit over time and
I think
present in different
will
ways.
Spend some time in 2017
yeah.
on this topic.
Yeah, so yeah. absolutely. So as you said, we'd love to hear from you. So write to us in whichever capacity you would mm-hmm. like to write to us. We're happy to hear from you and happy to you know, do another podcast talking about more of this stuff and addressing some specific questions that you might have. So,
right.
All right.
Yeah, let us know.
Well, so that's it. Have a great weekend. And until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Richard.
Stay happy and healthy and forget to be afraid.